Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick. LSU moved up to number 8 in the AP poll and coaches poll after its 51-10 win over Clemson. The Tigers now sit directly ahead of Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Alabama. The SEC has amended its lawsuit against LSU regarding the program's recruitment of players who spent time in NFL training camps to pave the way to expel LSU from the conference. The filed complaint claims the school has lost control of the football program and says conference CEOs will meet for a vote to terminate LSU's membership on Thursday. Tiger Rag editor Glenn Gilbo says it's an overreaction.
It's possible that it could happen, but I think it's a bunch of BS from the SEC office. I think they're just angry at, I think Greg Sankey is being overly emotional and angry.
LSU still has not broken the SEC's rule against signing ex-pros because Daquan Wright and Xavier Harris were not listed on the team's roster, but two spots were left open in case the team wanted to add them later in the season. A temporary restraining order hearing has been set for tomorrow at 1 p.m. LRN.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU.
LSU set a record for first downs in a game with 38 as the Tigers churned out 644 total yards in its 51-10 win over Clemson. LSU's offensive line struggled last season, and Coach Lane Kiffin says this current group has room to improve.
We had over 300 yards rushing. We had no sacks, but at the same time, Sam got us out of trouble a couple times. So you got to be careful with that stat and thinking, oh, we played great up there. So we did some really good things, but we've got to improve. We got to play better at the guard spot if we're going to continue to improve and play really consistent.
The Saints kick off the season in Detroit on Sunday. Lions receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown has caught over 100 passes in each of the last four seasons, and Saints head coach Kellen Moore says he is a premier player.
He obviously plays a lot of time in the slot, but he can play all over the field. His versatility, his route detail, his ability to catch the football in contested situations, his run blocking is as good as anyone in this league. I think a lot of receivers in our league can learn from him. A lot of players can learn from him, and so it'll be a fun test.
Louisiana Radio Network Sports, I'm Case Kieschnick.
Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Our time is now with LSU basketball.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
One way or another, we're going to make history.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
I came here to win. We're going to win immediately.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council, Boudreaux's Electrical Services, and Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Case Kieschnick and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
Players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Tiger Rag Radio. Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn. Glenn Gilbo, the editor, will join us here shortly. And we have Case Kieschnick, our fearless producer, here as well. And what a show we have for you tonight. We got some great guests lined up. And it'll start with Glenn West from Go247. He will join us later on in this hour. We're going to hear from Matt Moscona from After Further Review, ESPN 104.5 and 104.9 Baton Rouge. His show every day from 3 to 6 airs statewide. And we'll hear from the Attorney General of Louisiana, Liz Merle. And I didn't know it would be as interesting of a conversation as it will be now. And I was really hoping, Todd, to start off the show here tonight talking about just what an amazing performance by the LSU Tigers on Saturday. What an amazing day on LSU's campus. Just everything about it. Even I think the two-hour weather delay actually added to the theater of the entire event. And unfortunately, a cold bucket of water was thrown on that. And we'll have to start off the show talking about the potential of the SEC removing LSU from the Southeastern Conference.
Well, it's as hard as it is to imagine that a brand
with as much power and attraction nationally and internationally, but certainly nationally, as LSU has, as much revenue as they create, as important as they have been since the beginning of the SEC in 1932. They actually started competition in 1933, and LSU is a founding member and clearly one of the top two or three brands in the SEC, that anybody would consider kicking them out, especially over the absurd situation that we're facing. And I know there's a lot of emotion, especially throughout the country, but especially directly in the SEC, where LSU and Lane Kiffin have become a target for animosity, for people who are protecting the tradition of amateurism, which no longer exists and hasn't for a while. But they target Lane Kiffin and LSU, and I think they kind of conflate what's going on right now with the SEC with that. And I'm pretty close to the situation. This is nothing but a power shove between Greg Sankey, the SEC, and they're quite honestly pissed off at LSU, and that's all this is right now. I do not believe that LSU will be expelled. That's a threat. It's a real threat, but this is just a power move, and I expect we'll have that confirmation from people who are much smarter and much more directly involved than we are by the end of this show. Especially when Liz Merle comes on in the 7:30 hour, because she's been named in the lawsuit, in the amendment to the lawsuit today, which will take place tomorrow. But I found Senator John Kennedy's comments perfect.
Well, you want to hear from Senator John Kennedy?
I would
right
love
now?
To hear from John Kennedy.
All right,
right
this
now.
Was Senator John Kennedy earlier today. He was speaking at an event in Ascension Parish, and of course, as we're doing this show on a Tuesday night, it was announced that the Southeastern Conference was gathering its presidents and chancellors to hold a vote to kick LSU out of the Southeastern Conference, and they amended their lawsuit that they filed against LSU and the Board of Supervisors and President Wade Roos and Coach Lane Kiffin. They amended that lawsuit today. They got John Kennedy's reaction to it all. And of course, Senator Kennedy, as always, he's never a loss for words.
That's bone deep down to the marrow stupid. I've got rocks in my driveway that are smarter than me. They're not going to throw LSU out of the SEC. Let me tell you something. I and a lot of other people in the United States Congress will be on them like a hobo on a ham sandwich. LSU hadn't done anything wrong. It's called a court of law. God made courts to decide disputes. Now, whether you agree with what LSU did or disagree, we did the right thing by going to court. We didn't just do stuff. We went to court. And we're going to abide by the court decision. But they're not going to start all this stuff. I mean, if I have something to say about it.
Well, the one thing I want to say about that is he was obviously very colorful and very passionate, and also was like saying, again, if you think you can do this, we're going to show you you can't, talking to the SEC. But the thing that I think he's wrong about, and I think that mangles the discussion, LSU not only didn't do anything technically wrong, and at least there's been no proof that LSU did anything wrong, the SEC didn't assert proof that LSU has done anything wrong. They asserted that they coordinated.
Could I read exactly what it says?
Exactly what it says. And then I want to show you that inside of the document, they can't support anything that they said.
In the amended portion of the lawsuit today, expressed great concern that defendant Lane Kiffin was working in concert with counsel for the Plyburn plaintiffs with the support and involvement of defendant Liz Merle, the AG has now been added as a defendant in this case, and the Louisiana governor. expressed great concern that the defendants, Wade Roos and athletic director Virge Ausberry, have no meaningful control over Kiffin or the football program at LSU, even though Section 6.1 of the SEC Constitution specifies the chief executive officer of each member of the conference is charged with full responsibility for enforcing the Constitution, bylaws, and other rules, regulations, and legislation of the conference and the NCAA at his or her respective member institutions. Based on the significant concerns expressed by the CEOs, the conference's presidents, the conference's president has directed the commissioner to give formal notice that a previously scheduled meeting of the CEOs on September 10th will be a special meeting of the conference for the purpose of considering termination of LSU's membership in SEC pursuant to Section 3.15 of the Constitution.
Okay, and so back to my point. So in court last week, Judge Jordan added LSU to the lawsuit, to the preemptive, whatever it's called, I can't even think right now.
Preliminary injunction
to protect LSU from punitive actions from the SEC.
So the SEC then would be violating state law?
They would be violating the court's ruling right now by doing this. So that's why they preemptively filed in federal court and then took this secondary action today, because they're trying to defy the court and they're trying to win a stronger reaction by federal court being stronger than state court. That's what's going on. That's why I say it's a power shove. LSU did not sue the SEC. The SEC is suing LSU and individuals within LSU. The SEC and the NCAA caused this problem, because they cannot follow their own damn rules, okay? They put their rules in place. They don't even understand the rules they put in place. They don't understand the timing of the rules they put in place. And then they turn around and harm individual players, and that's who the court was protecting, in their words, okay? And that's just as Senator Kennedy said, that's just a procedure. You don't have to agree with what LSU was taking part in by protecting those individuals. But the SEC is now defying the court and trying to basically arm wrestle the court with another court. And that's what tomorrow's hearing is going to be about with the SEC. Will that federal judge in Alabama tell everyone that the SEC has the authority that basically the Louisiana court stripped from it, at least temporarily? That's the whole thing. It has nothing to do with the two LSU football players that Lane Kiffin left off of the roster. So technically, LSU has not done anything wrong yet. This whole idea that LSU orchestrated this and created it, I want to understand how that happened when the timeline doesn't even indicate that that's possible.
Why do you say that?
Because the lawsuits, the more than 60 lawsuits now, containing more than 450 players across the country, most of those were initiated prior to LSU becoming involved. Now, if LSU did contact players directly that were in NFL camps and did encourage them to get involved, that's a slimmer issue than what the SEC is alleging currently. That is a secondary issue that they are alleging in their amendment and what they're saying. But they don't have proof of that. Their proof is a news article that ran on CBS Sports with unnamed anonymous sources. This is absurd. And by the way, Alabama last year played an former NBA player through multiple games by following a court injunction.
And there was no lawsuit filed
by the SEC.
Yeah.
All right. What the hell's going on?
How much does the vote, the 16-0 vote that Wade Roos, when they voted for the new policy regarding players that had signed contracts with NFL, NBA, and WNBA teams, the fact that Wade Roos voted for that. Now, he did not vote for the penalties that Commissioner... Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish.
No, it's good.
So he votes for that. He says, and he's on record with that vote. And I understand that there's a lot of people that have said, well, the vote was actually closer than that. You know, it's good.
But go ahead, hurry up.
But yes, he's on record with that. So if he's on record with that, what I'm presuming what the SEC is expecting to see out of Wade Roos is telling them that's great that Xavier Harris and Daquan Wright have won their court hearing, but they shouldn't be on your campus and they shouldn't be practicing with your football team because you voted to say that pro players aren't supposed to be back, and I'm using pro loosely, I get that, that are not supposed to be participating with your team.
That's all fine and dandy, except the court in Baton Rouge on Thursday of last week said screw that because you have no authority right now to enforce that. And they took that away from them. And now they're trying to sidestep that.
And with a federal
order. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm trying to describe. That's what's going on. This is an arm wrestling match. This is a power shove. This is Greg Sankey's feelings being hurt.
It's amazing that a conference would do that.
Yeah, especially whenever that same commissioner sat on the witness stand for 3 hours and 10 minutes on Thursday and couldn't answer a question coherently for most of it.
He's just upset. That's what it's all about. He's mad, and he's used to getting his way. Like Liz Merle told us, he's used to getting his way, and he's used to being treated with kid gloves by the national media. They just think he's like some kind of president or something. He's a freaking commissioner of a league that gets its money from the members and basically doesn't really have a lot to do.
Well, I've always said this about conference commissioners. These guys and gals, all they want to do is hand out trophies, hand out TV revenue checks, and walk around in a polo shirt at the SEC baseball tournament acting like they're God's gift to college athletics.
Exactly, and they really don't do a lot. You know, the guys who work in sports information departments, they work a lot, and a lot of them kind of graduate to those places, but they don't do a lot at those conferences, I'm telling you.
The thing that I'm most interested about, not to get back into the details, but to get back into the details, is the literal amendment today is that they made so that it can try to block being blocked. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to block being blocked by the Louisiana court to have this meeting with these 15 people who could vote, or 16 people, including Roos, who could vote, and they need 11 votes to expel LSU. They're doing that based on a CBS Sports news report that had anonymous sources. They have zero evidence.
Right, right. And that's a great point. You made that a minute ago, too. I've read a lot of lawsuits, and sometimes they don't have a lot in the lawsuit that you get a copy of, and a lot comes out in the trial. But a lot of lawsuits have a lot of stuff in it, and like Greg Brooks' lawsuit a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very convincing, and they had a lot of information. This lawsuit has nothing. I mean, it's amazing how they have nothing in it.
There's a column that I wrote earlier today on TigerRag.com that breaks down this whole case right now, and I tried to do it as fairly as I possibly could. And I list the things that they do not have, that they do need to have. Now, somebody told me today, that it's discovery. You don't have to do that in the deal. That's true.
Is that how they said it?
Yeah. that is exactly how they said it. And I said, it's true. Discovery goes deeper, but discovery is when the other side says, give me your evidence for that. In order to make an allegation, which is not a finding, you have to supply the evidence that you have to make the allegation.
Well, we'll keep talking
and
about
they
this.
They did not do that.
Let's take our first break. We'll keep talking about this. We will talk some football, talk about the Tigers' huge win on Saturday over Clemson, get into some other things. Also have to say our thoughts on the unfortunate and the untimely passing of Mike Dettillier. So we'll get into that and a lot more here on Tiger Rag Radio. Don't go away.
a sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac Home Standby Generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's Electrical Services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless, LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo. One of the reasons why I believe the SEC has taken a hard stand on this is that they don't want... What's wrong, Todd?
I just get sick of this. Go ahead. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it because it's a the whole thing is a fight. That's all it is. It's a power fight.
What were you going to say?
Well, I don't mean to cut you off.
Well, okay. I think the one, the SEC, and I'd throw the NCAA into this as well, is that they want to stop the precedent of a player, whether they actually practice or appear in preseason games or not, go from an NFL training camp to, and if it doesn't work out with an NFL team or an NBA team or a WNBA team, they don't want that to now become something routine that allows those players to go back to college. Now, you might say, well, if they pass the Protect College Sports Act or if they pass some sort of federal legislation, they'll get the antitrust exemption. My thoughts on that is, one, there's no guarantee that Congress is ever going to pass anything. And then the other part in all of this is that even if there's probably members of Congress, and I would say probably members of the Congressional Black Caucus that look at this and say, you know what, this isn't that bad. Well, if somebody wanted to go and try for the NFL or NBA and gets hurt or whatever, they should be able to go back to college and make their six-figure NIL deal.
I agree. And but here's the thing. It all comes, I said earlier that the SEC and NCAA caused this whole thing. And the reason they caused this whole thing, the way they caused this whole thing, is by their inconsistent application of rules. All right? Greg Sankey sat on a stand for 3 hours and 10 minutes in Baton Rouge the other day and could not define what a pro was. All right? He is the commissioner of the SEC. He could not define what a pro was.
And he said he didn't have time to research it.
That's right. Okay.
Again, he doesn't have that much to do.
But he had enough time to sue LSU.
Yeah.
And
concurrently, while he was sitting on a stand, this lawsuit was announced.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't define a pro because he hasn't had enough time to research all of the different instances of the way they've been inconsistent in applying the rules across all their sports. He also cannot recognize the rule when it's the 5-for-5 rule, when it's placed on a projection screen in front of him as it appears in the NCAA manual. Because it's not the way he remembers the way the rule looked.
He also doesn't like the NCAA, which is weird because he's a part of the NCAA. But, Jeff, you're saying that they want to stop this trend of players trying to come back. Every player that's trying to come back this year is involved in a lawsuit that is a one-year thing.
But
I don't think it does.
I think it will.
Some lawyer might argue that.
Exactly, and argue.
but that would happen anyway. And you've already had.
But once you crack that door open, Glenn, you knock it down.
That's a slippery slope argument you just made.
We're going back to the fact that the rule as stated in the NCAA manual as it exists right now does not eliminate 2022 players, athletes at all. It does not.
All right, we'll talk some football with Glenn West of On3.com when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Some call it overplanning. At Boudreaux Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac home standby generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's electrical services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. BoudreauxElectricalServices.com for more information.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins' products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture. a sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Andrew Greenstein. The SEC amends its federal lawsuit against LSU, seeking the authority to expel the school from the conference. Attorney General Liz Merle and LSU's entire board of supervisors were added as defendants in the lawsuit, alongside athletic director Virge Ausberry, president Wade Roos, and football coach Lane Kiffin. Merle filed an amicus brief supporting the return of the players formerly on NFL rosters in the preliminary injunction hearing last week, but she says she has no idea what claim they could be making against her or her office.
First, they were hating on Lane Kiffin, and he was like the devil, you know. I mean, he's the evil conspirator that put this all in motion and ignored the actual students whose lives are affected, and now they've sued me. So, you know, not really sure why.
When forecasters say this hurricane season would be quieter than normal, they weren't kidding. We're coming up on the middle of September, and we haven't had one Atlantic hurricane yet. The record for the latest in the year without a hurricane is September 11th, and we will break that record. LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
The Louisiana sports world is mourning the death of NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier, who lost his battle with pancreatic cancer on Sunday. Today would have been his 66th birthday. Dettillier hosted the popular Second Guest Show with Bobby Hebert on LRN affiliate WWL on Monday nights during the football season for two decades. Hebert says he can't believe Mike D is gone.
I enjoyed doing shows with him and just talking football. Sharing stories about grandkids, you know, you want to be around for your grandkids and stuff. So,
In his 4 months remaining on Capitol Hill, Senator Bill Cassidy is continuing to urge Congress to address the solvency of Social Security. In an appearance on News Nation, Cassidy accused his colleagues in the Senate of sitting on this issue and not taking it seriously.
Unless senators are willing to do their job and actually consider solutions, Sheldon Whitehouse's issue, Ron Johnson's issue, or Bill Cassidy's proposal will not be considered.
LRN.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
How you doing? This is Snoop Dogg.
Tiger Rag. Tiger Rag Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are tuned in.
Talk LSU sports, interviews, opinions, and your calls around the Tiger Nation.
Baton Rouge was a life for me, home of the LSU Tigers.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
Hey, we love to score and get highlights and championships and play to win.
Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, we're going to talk some ball here with Glenn
Football.
West with i3.com. Actually, I was going to start off by asking Glenn West. Glenn, could you break down SEC Constitution 3.12 persuasion to the Alabama federal law jurisdiction?
I think you have the wrong Glenn West.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What was the most impressive aspect or what stood out for you the most about LSU's dominant victory over Clemson? Was it the offensive line, the running game, or the defensive line, or some other area that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, look, I think the entire defense is probably the thing that I would point to the most. I mean, the further and further we get away from this game, I go back and I look at the stats of just what this defense did. I mean, they were on the field, guys. I mean, Clemson had less than 50 plays in this game. They forced 10 punts, 8 three and outs. You know, if not for that first quarter turnover that led to a 50-yard field goal, LSU would have been up 51-0 in this game at various points of it. And so, like, I am so impressed by what Blake Baker's unit did. And it started up front. I mean, I thought the defensive line got great pressure. Uman Mielen, Jordan Ross, Dylan Carpenter, all played extremely well. The interior guys were able to get some good push in the middle and allow for, you know, Whit Weeks and T.J. Dottery to make some plays in the backfield as well. So, like, the front seven was on it. And, you know, we asked Marcus Cooley today, just kind of, you know, what he thought of the defensive line's performance and kind of the front seven's performance. And he said, well, I didn't have to do anything in the game because those guys did all of it because they weren't testing us down the field. And, you know, I think that says a lot about what those guys did up front. And that's kind of what the Blake Baker scheme is built on, right? Is just getting creative blitzes and exotic looks and applying pressure on the opposing offensive line and quarterback. And I thought the defense did that in spades. So I would say the defense is probably the biggest standout, but the offense played great too.
Now let me ask you this before we start talking about the offense or other aspects. Is Clemson just that bad or is LSU that good?
I think LSU's just this good. I mean, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment here because I want to see what they do against Ole Miss in 2 weeks and A&M in 3 weeks, but I was looking at a couple mock drafts today, and there were two Clemson Tigers in the first round in a lot of different mock drafts, and I think that there are probably, you know, five or six, maybe seven players on this Clemson team that could be future NFL players. And so, like, I think that Clemson is not going to be terrible this year. Obviously, they're not going to be very good, but, you know, if they're six or seven win team, I mean, like, that's, you know, pretty pedestrian by, you know, their standards over there. But I just, the way that LSU just boat raced them and manhandled them throughout the entirety of this game, I thought was just extremely impressive. Like, their athletes were just so much better than their athletes, and I think that says a lot about the kind of players that Kiffin and his staff identified, and then just how well they built him up in the offseason conditioning-wise, because that's something that you ask any player this offseason. They rave about how well-conditioned and how ready they were for the start of this season. And so I think it probably says a little bit more about LSU and just how good they are.
My last question, and then I'll let you guys do something. Dylan Jones or Sam Levitt, more impressive?
I'm going to lean Sam Levitt just because I think for all of us, we were just waiting to see what he would look like in a game setting. And he was absolutely not worried at all about his foot or his leg or anything. I mean, he was out there running like gangbusters. He was a real, real threat with his legs, going for 113 yards. Dylan Jones was phenomenal as well. Just every time they handed him the ball, he was just, you know, 4, 5, 8, 12, 14 yards. I mean, it was just, there wasn't really like one huge, big, explosive run where he got all of his yards. It was just very, very consistent in terms of the production that he was giving LSU. And, you know, I thought Levitt, you know, as the game settled in, really got going with the passing game as well. In the third quarter, he was 7 of 9 for over 100 yards and a touchdown. And so, like, I think he really set the tone with his legs, but by the end of the game, he was doing both and made for, you know, a really strong first debut performance. So I'll say Levitt.
The receiving core, Winnie Watkins ended up being the leading receiver in this game. Do you see that being every game it's someone different, Glenn?
I don't know it'll be someone different. I do think that Watkins will be pretty consistently involved. I think that Tre'Davious Green will be pretty consistently involved. Eugene Wilson, I think those are maybe the core three when you look at the passing game. But I do think that there are going to be opportunities for other guys like Jaxon Harris, Jace Brown, Phillip Wright, who had an awesome fourth quarter in this game, really explosive athlete. But, yeah, I do think that LSU will probably settle into four, you know, maybe five guys if somebody really kind of comes along. But I thought that Watkins has great route running ability. He's able to affect the game in the middle of the field. Tre'Davious, same deal. And then I think on the outside, Eugene Wilson is somebody that LSU is really excited about and just wants to get the ball in space and have him go make some plays for him. So I would probably lean those three. But there's opportunity for other guys to certainly slide in and make major impacts throughout the course of the year.
Glenn, that offensive line, I think, was a big question mark for a lot of people coming into this season opener because of how they performed last year. Obviously, great rushing attack from the Tigers on Saturday. But Lane Kiffin kind of pointed out that it maybe wasn't quite up to the standard that they still expect. What did you make of the offensive line's performance? No sacks, a lot of rushing yards. Is that just a product of Sam Levitt doing what he can with what he's got, or is it really improved?
Yeah, I think it's getting there. Like, I think to your point about the run game, that was the most important thing for me to see. They were opening up holes for Dylan Jones. He wasn't just creating them. He was, you know, definitely identifying him and running through them, but they were there. And I think that's a huge credit to the offensive line in the run game perspective. I think probably what Kiffin is alluding to is more so in the passing game, and I think that's where, you know, Sam Levitt's improvisational skills really kind of help LSU and can bail them out of some of those situations. But I think, you know, it's a long season. There's still room to improve there. But if Levitt's going to keep running like that, then, you know, maybe it's not even that big of a concern at this point. So I think that they're going to be fine in the long run. And when you think about it, they've really only got two new guys in there. I mean, for all the overhaul that they have had, you know, Seton's back. Bo Bordelon's back, Weston Davis is back, Braylon Moore's back, and that's three or five right there. And I think if you had asked me or anybody back in January or December just kind of how many new pieces that they would have on this offensive line, I probably would have said four or five. And so the fact that they have three returners who have been in the program for a little while now, and then the two transfers in Ba and Seton, I think says a lot about how the other guys have developed and how Eric Wolford and James Craig have really kind of coached that room up.
Glenn, whenever you are watching the game from the press box two or three seats down from me, I was going to ask you a couple times during the game, but you were always so busy I didn't want to disturb you. But did the thought ever occur to you watching Levitt run and break out for some of those unplanned runs that even though LSU's offensive line basically sucked last year, that it would have been very interesting if we would have had a quarterback who could break out in runs last year and Garrett Nussmeier refused to do it?
No, absolutely. And that's not really Nuss's strength as a quarterback, right? And as we came to find out, you know, he was dealing with a lot of issues last year in terms of his health. And so, I just think last year was just a complete, you know, from game one, they were doomed. And even though we didn't know it, right. I mean, we didn't really see that until, you know, the Florida game and then certainly the Ole Miss game and all that stuff last year. But yeah, I mean, look, I think college football now is definitely more catered towards the running quarterback. You see it a lot of the top offenses, you know, whether it's, you know, Ole Miss over there with Chambliss. I mean, those guys, you know, guys can run, and you need to be able to have that element to your game as a quarterback now to be the really, really, really explosive offense in this day and age. So, I would say that it certainly would have helped last year, but, you know, look, you know, you're now back to Levitt here with this year, and I think he's going to be a great dual threat option and just the perfect fit for this scheme.
And could we anticipate Dylan Jones getting 85-90% of the carries?
At this point, you have to consider it, right? I mean, he was so good for them in this first game. And, you know, look, I'm a little bit surprised at just kind of how not much of a factor Harlan Berry was. Like, I kind of thought most of the offseason he'd be somebody that LSU would really turn to. It's kind of a change of pace back, but clearly they didn't have him in the game plan for this week. Maybe he'll start surprising the coaching staff as the weeks go along, and he'll make the most of when he gets in the game. But, I think right now you're looking at a situation where Dylan Jones is your bell cow, and then whoever has the hot hand between Stacey Gage, Caden Durham, and Harlan Berry is going to be kind of the number two option in that backfield.
Glenn, with LSU up 31-3 at halftime, and as you said earlier, it could have been much more, at least 10 points more probably at halftime than it was. How were you able to get that sneak down into the locker room and get that recording of Kiffin's halftime speech? And what did you think about it?
You must have been really low too.
Yeah, I was playing it coy there, guys. You caught me. That was a side of Kiffin that I don't think I had expected. He was shouting at the top of his lungs there, and clearly he feels some kind of way. I think this team internally feels some kind of way about the way that people have been talking about him, and so they've got a chip on their shoulder. And I think with today's stuff, also now being thrown into it as well, when SEC play comes along, this team, if they're going to have that opportunity to, they're going to try to run out some scores on some of these teams in the SEC. I fully, wholeheartedly believe that.
Well, speaking of that, did you watch the Ole Miss-Louisville game, and what do you think of that matchup in 2 weeks right now?
I did. I watched a lot of the second half. I missed some of the first half. But,
you didn't miss anything first half.
Yeah, the secondary for Ole Miss looks – yeah, very susceptible, and yep. I'm sure Charlie Weiss and Lane Kiffin were watching and already scheming up some ways in which maybe they can have some success here in a few weeks. But I think that's going to be the one, right? If LSU can go into that building with all the distractions that are going to come from it and walk out of there with a win, and if it's a comfortable win, I think you've announced yourself even further to the college football world that you're a true title contender at that point.
Yeah, hopefully Trinidad Chambliss doesn't have a sore throat or something like that, yeah. and they can blame that.
I'm actually convinced that the entire SEC, all the presidents, the head coaches, and everything watched the LSU-Clemson game and decided we got to get LSU out of the conference,
which is amazing.
Maybe that'll be a nice 30 for 30 wrinkle in a few years when they have the documentary on this.
And meantime, they haven't won a national championship in years, and it looks like LSU might be their best chance. And Sankey's trying to kick them out because it's more important for competitive balance for Greg Sankey.
How about that? Huh?
All right, Glenn. We'll let you get going. Let us know next time you get in the locker room how you do it, so we all can get in there. All right.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys.
All right, Glenn West from On3.com covers the LSU Tigers. We'll take a break. More of Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
No more mold, no more damage, no more outdated old bathroom, no more slipping and hurting, no more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-770-5322. BCI Bath & Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-770-5322. Call BCI Bath & Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-770-5322. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-770-5322. That's 800-770-5322.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio. Yeah,
we did.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo, Todd Horn, Glenn Gilbo, Case Kieschnick. Let's hear a little bit from what Lane Kiffin had to say Monday. Here's his thoughts on the offensive line.
300 yards rushing, we had no sacks, but at the same time, Sam got us out of trouble a couple times. So you got to be careful with that stat and thinking, oh, we played great up there. So we did some really good things, but we've got to improve. We got to play better at the guard spot if we're going to continue to improve and play really consistent.
So the line did play well, but he's right. Sam Levitt's mobility and his pocket awareness, his ability to escape the pocket several times, did probably save them from having a couple of sacks. But compared to what we were used to seeing, that offensive line is like day and night.
Well, you would always dread when it was like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, even when they had Emory Jones and Will Campbell on that offensive line. You go back to that Florida State game in Orlando where they could not convert on 4th and 1, 3rd and short. They have struggled in that department. And in this game, they had several of those 3rd and shorts, and it was no problem.
Yeah, and part of the reason why, from a scheme standpoint, is not only that they're operating so fast that they're eliminating the ability for, you know,
substitutions
and they're also, but they're diverse in their plays. You didn't know what to expect at any time. Now, you got several plays where they snapped on short yardage, where they snapped the ball direct to the back, but you never knew where they were going.
It was beautiful, though. And you know they got so many plays running off of that. Like, they showed that a lot against Clemson, but you know there's going to be so many wrinkles coming off of that as the season goes along. Go ahead, Glenn.
Have you two guys said what was most impressive to y'all?
We never got to that.
All right, you want to do that now?
We can take a break, and then why don't we do it then and close out the first hour doing it that way, since we're running up against the break. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk about what we thought was most impressive amongst us. Case, Glenn, Todd, and myself, Jeff Palermo. So stay tuned. More of Tiger Rag Radio after this.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Some call it overplanning. At Booger Electrical Services, we call it foresight. Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac Home Standby Generator automatically restores your home power. Generac, it's not just a generator, it's a power move. Trust Boudreaux's Electrical Services for expert installations, proactive maintenance for home and business. Boudreaux'sElectricalServices.com for more information.
I'm Richard Futno, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
If you love LSU, don't settle for headlines everyone else already has. At TigerRag.com and in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find breaking news, exclusive interviews, recruiting, game analysis, and the investigative reporting that's making headlines across Louisiana. Recently named Louisiana's first place breaking news winner by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association, Tiger Rag delivers independent journalism covering the business, the politics, and the games of LSU athletics. Visit TigerRag.com every day. Tiger Rag, independent, fearless LSU. LSU is more than just football scores. It's recruiting battles, NIL, SEC politics, coaching decisions, public records, financial decisions worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Nobody covers the complete story like Tiger Rag. Every day at TigerRag.com and every month in Tiger Rag Magazine, you'll find award-winning journalism, exclusive interviews, insider analysis, recruiting coverage, opinion, history, and investigative reporting that other outlets simply don't have. Tiger Rag was recently honored with first place for breaking news by the Louisiana Sports Writers Association for its coverage of LSU athletics. Whether you're following Lane Kiffin, Jay Johnson, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, or the future of LSU athletics, Tiger Rag is where serious LSU fans begin. Visit TigerRag.com today. Tiger Rag, more than big games, the story behind LSU sports.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio.
All right, back here on Tiger Rag Radio. Well, before the SEC decided to kick out LSU out of the league, I had a whole plan here to start off the show, so we're getting into it a little bit late. I wanted to ask each of you, Case, Glenn, and Todd, what you thought were the most impressive thing. Todd had already asked Glenn a similar question to
Glenn
that.
West, yeah.
Glenn West, again, thank you. With on3.com. So the three options are run game, Sam Levitt, or defense. What was the most impressive? Who wants to take a shot at it first?
I'll go first because Glenn West kind of echoed mine. I was impressed with all three aspects, but I think, like, I actually wrote this on Tiger Rag, I think on Sunday, TigerRag.com. I the biggest takeaway to me that drives my confidence the highest with this team is the defense, and especially the defensive line. I was most concerned about that heading in. I knew that the offense would, if not good against Clemson, they would be good because Kiffin and Weiss would deliver a good offense at some point early in the season. But defense wins championships, and I think LSU has a defense that can win a championship and can go toe-to-toe with the best in the SEC, and they're going to need that. I also was most impressed with Kiffin's three-point shooting style while LSU is kicking extra points.
Or how about Cookie's use of a fire extinguisher? Did you like that?
I did like that.
All right, what about Glenn?
I was most impressed with the speed of the and execution of the quick tempo offense. I mean, that's hard to do, and they really didn't make a lot of mistakes. They looked great. They look like they've been practicing for months, and it's the first time an LSU offense reminded me of the 2019 LSU offense.
All right, Case?
I think that you have to point to Sam Levitt and his ability to run the ball. I think he got you out of plays. The offensive line didn't give up any sacks, and I don't think it was because of their own play. I think Sam Levitt got them out of situations where he was scrambling for his life in the backfield, and sometimes he tried to make a play out of it with his arm, and sometimes he just took the ball, made three defenders miss, and ran for a good 20 yards. And it was really miraculous to watch, honestly.
Yeah. I would go with the run game just because it's been torture to watch this team run the football the last couple of seasons. And I really was blown away with the running style of Dylan Jones, the physicalness that he brings to it, his ability to hit the hole as hard as he did. I'm an idiot. I honestly had LSU only winning this game by a touchdown. I just never would have thought that the offense would have looked that smooth in game one.
Hey, I tell you what, we introduced a new feature on TigerRag.com in the game week prior leading up to it, where Case and Joe Gallinaro put together what was it called, Case?
The EA College Football 27. We simulated the game prior to the matchup.
And the final score was 44-10?
44-10.
Wow.
And I was sitting there halfway through the fourth quarter looking at Lane Kiffin going for two and doing the math and thinking, there's a world where this ends up 44-10. And it was dang close.
Yeah. Hey, Case, during the game, at some point, didn't I turn to you and pretty much name the score early on?
I don't know about name the score, but I will give you your credit. You told me I should bring this up on the radio. He turned to me after the first offensive drive for the Tigers, and said, or LSU Tigers, I should say, and he said, they're going to win by 30, 40 points. Because he watched that offensive line, and I'm assuming here, he watched the push the offensive line got, the run game. And I guess it wasn't their first drive, because the first drive ended in an interception. But after that, second drive.
Well, I call a ton of high school games, as many of you know. And there's a lot of games that I show up, and I watch the first two series and say there's no chance. Like, one team is way better than the other. Like, this is pretty obvious. It's going to be a blowout one way or the other. And that's how I felt after watching two or three series of this game. I'm like, Clemson doesn't have a chance in this game. They're getting overwhelmed at the line of scrimmage both ways. They look clueless on offense. they got some serious problems there. I know you asked Glenn about, you know, is Clemson a good or bad team? I don't think they're very good at all.
I don't either.
I think offensively, I didn't realize how much. I think the hire by Dabo Swinney hiring Chad Morris is equivalent to Ed Orgeron hiring Bo Pelini.
Did you hear Dabo after the game when they asked him what he thought of Morris's performance? He said, not good.
Well, yeah, that's a good answer.
I would say so. Well, I thought Lane had an amazing quote when he was talking about how, well, we wanted to make him one-dimensional, and we ended up making him no-dimensional.
And that was actually my favorite quote.
I think it's Kiffin. In the SEC lawsuit, by the way. Go ahead.
But that's actually my favorite Kiffin quote from the whole weekend. Whenever he's talking to Holly Rowe afterwards, and he says that his scout team outperformed Clemson's offense.
Well, I think we now know why Sankey is suing LSU, because LSU really messes up his competitive balance.
You said that earlier.
No, I didn't say it the same way, though.
All right, hour number one in the books. Hour number two, Matt Moscona joins us after this.